This morning's scripture reading is from Ephesians. That's found on page 948, Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Pete. You may have caught that as Peter was reading the text and as Mandy's showing us up on the screen right now. I love this analogy that the Apostle Paul uses in this text of being rooted in God's love. Rooted in God's love. Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians, and they've got problems in their church. They got problems because there seems to be a division, because the Jewish believers are at odds with the Gentile or the non-Jewish believers, because the Jewish believers think that it's only for them, that Christianity, that believing in Christ is only for them. Because Jesus was Jewish, because all the apostles were Jewish, and because God's salvation plan was through the nation of Israel, the natural thought was that in order to become a Christian, in order to be saved, then you needed to become Jewish first. But Paul's saying it's not so. In fact, Paul says this quite a bit through his letters, that it's not so. He says, Christianity, which is not really called Christianity yet, but belief in Christ and the way, the following of Christ through the way, is all part of God's plan that switched to Jesus Christ to make it for all God's people, not just for the Jews, that all who believe in Jesus are now saved. And he says this elsewhere too. He says this in Galatians 3, verse 28 as well. He says, there's neither Gentile nor Jew, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, for all are equal within the body of Christ. And that's indeed the case, and that's the case for most of us today. I would imagine that we're all Gentiles. So Paul has this problem with the Ephesian church, and he's writing this letter to the Ephesian church, and he's saying, giving us this wonderful analogy about being rooted in God's love. And as you're seeing the picture above me here today, the picture of the rooting being and a tree, it's simply amazing, because I think that roots do three things. First of all, roots anchor a tree. And I think we all get that. Roots anchor a tree. Roots grow into the ground. They hold on to the tree so that it doesn't move away from the ground that it's grounded into. The idea is that it doesn't matter whether there's a lot of rainfall, that there's a landslide or a big windstorm that comes up, the grounding of the root tree is grounded in the ground by the root system. Roots do another thing. They nourish the tree. They give the tree nourishment. And so the tree reaches out with its roots to get the much needed water and nutrients from the soil that it's planted in, of course. And thirdly, of course, the roots grow. As the tree grows tall, the roots grow further out or further down, depending on the type of tree, mostly. And sometimes it's really huge. I did a little bit of digging, and I quickly found out major root systems of different trees in the world. And in South Africa, it seems that they grow the biggest tree roots. The shepherd's tree in South Africa has root systems that dig as deep as 250 feet. That's 250 feet down. And the wild fig tree is the tree that's known best for being the world's longest root system, and that's 400 feet deep. So just a massive amount of roots. But the whole idea behind the root system is that it does these three things. It provides an anchor, it provides nourishment, and it provides, and it grows as it keeps on growing. And it does this instinctively. The tree doesn't decide, hey, today I'm going to grow my roots a little bit more. No, the tree instinctively, by the way that it's designed, by God's caring, reaches down and does all of these things instinctively and all at once. It's by God's design. And so when Paul talks about being rooted in God's love, he's saying to the church, he's praying that the church may be rooted in God's love. He's saying these same three things apply to the church, that they may be rooted in God's love. So in other words, they may be grounded in God's love. And I think we all know that from we all can see that being rooted in God's love means that we are not being swayed by different teachings of different beliefs, different sects, different teachings that will sway us away from the truth of Christ. I read an article about 3 weeks ago, I guess, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. It's all sort of a blur for me right now. About this one professor who is supposedly a Christian professor who put out this statement that says, Jesus really didn't need to die. And I started thinking about that, as we all should when somebody puts out a statement like that. Jesus really didn't need to die was this thing. Now, we could sort of slough it off and go, well, you know, that's bunk. But it bears some thinking. Because she didn't say that Jesus didn't die. She didn't say that Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead. She believed all that. But what she says is that because God can just forgive, Jesus didn't need to die. And I thought about this for a little while. And I came to understand quickly, that what she is missing, this professor is missing, is the gravity of sin. The doctrine of sin, the teaching of sin. She's saying, sin isn't that bad. Don't worry about it. It's fine. The gravity of sin, she says, is something that the church brought up on its own at a certain time, saying that it's all that bad. And that we shouldn't feel guilty, or we should sort of feel guilty, because Jesus died for these things. Jesus didn't need to die, she said. And I think from my understanding of that is that where she's gone wrong is that she's missing the gravity of sin. She's missing the the grievousness of this act that we have chosen as human beings and has cheapened the saving act of Jesus Christ on the cross. I disagree with her wholeheartedly, but that's because of a rootedness in God's love, of being not swayed from one way or another by the false, and I call it false teaching, because it is a heresy that the church dealt with a long time ago, by the way. So it's a heresy of not believing that sin is that bad. God and sin cannot dwell together in the same place. So that whole thing is being rooted in God allowed me to argue that. And we get this all the time. Every time it seems like one of the big seasons of the church come along, like Christmas or Easter, then we all see something on the History Channel or something like that says, did Jesus really live? Or Jesus really didn't die? Or Jesus really wasn't raised from the dead? All of which are doctrines that we believe in. Another part of being rooted in God is getting our nourishment from the source, which is God's love. And I don't know if you can see it in this illustration or not, but all of the leaves in the tree have a certain word in them. And patience, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, self-control are included in those leaves. They are the fruit of the Spirit that we gain as being nourished by the root system, being rooted in God. We are gaining the fruit of the Spirit. We are, you've heard the phrasing, you are what you eat. You've heard that. Well, this too is saying that we are what we consume. And if we consume the love of God as we are rooted in it, as He is the source of our nourishment, then we have no other recourse but to bear His fruit, which is out of love, which is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit. And the last thing that we do as we are rooted in God is that we continue to grow in God. Growing in God means that we don't stop digging in to God's Word, and we don't stop, on this side of heaven, we don't stop digging in. We keep on moving forward, trusting in God, finding more out about Him, wanting, desiring Him first. Or is that what we do? That's the right answer, but is that what we do? Because I'm afraid that this is where we may say that we want to be. We may say we want to be there, but I think that for many of us, we fall short on this end a little bit. Let me give you an illustration. We come to church once a week. Say we come to church every week, once per week, all year long. And you say, that's pretty good, right? That is pretty good. So that's 52 weeks. And I won't go there to say it's 52 hours, because sometimes I'm a little long-winded. And sometimes we get into some other things. So let's just put it to 2 hours per week. So that brings it up to 104 hours. Correct? Is my math right so far? And you say, well, hang on a minute, Pastor. I also do devotions every day. I do 15 minutes of devotions every day. Okay. So because of my super whiz math brain, I can come up with this thing that says, all of a sudden we are at 91 and a quarter hours of added extra time because you are spending 15 minutes in devotions every day. So add that to the 104 equals, you know, just shy of 200. Let's bring it up to 200. And you say, hang on a minute, Pastor, because I got a little bit more than that. I do some extra Bible reading, and I also am involved in a group, which amounts to maybe another hour a week per year on average. And so you say, okay, I'll give you that too. Let's just make it up to 260 then, because we are at 252. Let's make it up to 260, and that's where we are. Folks, that's 3% of the time that you have to live on this per year on this planet. 3%. And in that 3% of this time, you're supposed to be rooted in God, getting all your nourishment from Him, learning all about Him, bearing fruit from Him. 3% of your time. Now, this is an average, by the way. This is an average that I guess I concocted up this week sometime. But I think that this depicts many of our lives. And there's a lot of give and take. But then you say, well, hang on a minute. I've got a family. I've got work. I've got other stuff I need to do. I am a busy, busy fellow. I am a busy busy gal. What am I going to do to get more of God in me? To be more, to make this more, to make me more rooted? What am I going to do? How am I going to make this work? Because I got so much going on, and I'm already stretching myself already. I'm going to make a suggestion. And it's just flipping switch. It's rather simple. It's a simple suggestion. It might be a little bit more difficult of a thing to do for you. And that's switching your focus from you to God. Switching your focus from you to God. What that looks like is you wake up in the morning, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, thank you, God, for allowing me to get some rest last night. Thank you, God, for allowing me to live another day. May I live it for you. All of a sudden, your day shifts from you and the things that you need to do to God. It also, and as you work through your day, you also can start to see things through God's lens. Seeing the grander scheme of life, the grander scheme of everything, rather than focusing on your day, that it's all a problem for you and that your problems are everybody else's problems as well. So the person who happens to be grumpy at the checkout line at the grocery store, who has had a really rough day, has really put a kink in your day too, you can say, hey, you know what? Maybe that person's had a rough day as well. Or if you've gone to Tim Hortons and you're standing there and the person behind the counter at Tim Hortons just sort of grunts and doesn't smile the way he or she should smile at you and say, have a nice day, then that person as well needs to know that there's something beyond him or her. That you can see that she or he is having a tough time, a tough day. It's looking at the grander picture of things. It's looking at how God looks at the world. It's mourning with the people that are suffering all over the planet, that are suffering in our community. It's mourning with the people who are suffering from the recent car crash that happened near Brussels. It's enveloping them. It's praying for the families of them. It's mourning along with some people who have lost loved ones recently within our own congregation. And it's celebrating. It's celebrating as well with those who are celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. I noticed that there's a raft of birthdays coming up in the bulletin. Did you see all the birthdays? There's about 7 or 8 or something like that. And we can celebrate along with those people. And that's part of being a community. And that's part of growing the roots, growing in the love of Christ. We can do this individually by looking out and making sure that we are seeing things through God's lens, and we can apply it by celebrating and mourning and being a community with each other. Growing in God's love, being rooted in God's love, means being one with Him. And this is the amazing mystery that Paul talks about in the text for today. He's talking about the unknowable. Oh man, I gotta look this up. Sorry, because I get it wrong every time. It's in verse 19. To know this love that we're being rooted in, grounded in, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to know something that you can't know. You can't teach it. You can't relay it. You know it in your very being. You know it in your bones. And this is the Holy Spirit working within us as we are rooted in God, so that we will come to know the fullness of what it means to be in the Lord. This is God's design for us. This is His design for Christians who come together in a community like this, who live an individual life, yet come together all the time. And this is the prayer that Paul had for the Ephesian church, and this is a prayer that we can apply to us as well. May God bless us as we move forward being rooted in God's love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have blessed us with the ability to be rooted in Your love. And help us, Father, as we want to focus upon You and look at the world through the lens of God, not the lens of us, taking our focus off of us and putting it onto You. And help us, Father, to live this life for You as well, so that we will know that love that is unknowable, that we would feel the Holy Spirit working within us, that we may honor You through the gifts that You've given to us, through joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit coming to us because we are rooted in You. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song of response. Let's rise and sing.